Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Monday, December 26th, 2022. I trust that everyone had a good, healthy, blessed, beautiful Christmas, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the things going on in our individual lives. I hope your Christmas was a blessed one. Mine was very quiet, very peaceful, and very relaxing. Now that that celebration day is passed behind us, we look forward to the upcoming New Year in just about 5 days. And we go through this every year, don't we? Some of us are a little bit apprehensive. Some of us are afraid, frustrated, just not certain what the new year will bring. A lot of us begin this long list of resolutions. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to not do this. I'm going to cut out this activity. I'm going to add this. And pretty soon, we have a list a mile long. This morning on The Cross in the Desert, I want to encourage us, I want to exhort us, and I want to teach you based on a beautiful biblical promise that is going to start the new year right for you. This promise, in fact, is based on a book that I wrote almost 6 years ago for my dear Iranian friend, Maral Rastami. The name of the book is Finding Hope and a Future, Maral's Journey to Freedom. And I'm going to explain to you all about this book and talk to you now about this Bible verse that God used in a very powerful way in Maral's life. And I'm speaking of Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. This is what God's Word says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Isn't that a beautiful promise? The historical context for this verse is the Babylonian exile. The Jewish people, the Israelites, had been kidnapped or captured by King Nebuchadnezzar and were suffering in 70 years of captivity. It was a sign of God's judgment and displeasure upon them. But now the captivity is coming to an end. And for the exiles, God has this promise specific to them. Historically, that's the context. It's for the exiles going back to their homeland. But there is a principle of biblical interpretation that this verse as well has a double kind of meaning and application for us, the people of God, who struggle with the idea of the upcoming new year and what it has in store for us. All of us come from different backgrounds and circumstances. I don't know your circumstance. I don't know what has happened to you in this year. It may have been a very prosperous year, or it could have been a year filled with discouragement and setback, hurt, pain, loss, sorrow. I don't know. But as I read this verse to you and thought about what it meant to the people of Israel, the exiles that were once in Babylonian captivity, God was saying to them, I have a future and a hope for you. And they went back to rebuild the temple that King Cyrus allowed them to build. And I want to talk to you, though, about how this verse applies to you and me today, because although it has a historical setting, it also has application for us, the people of God, today. For I know the plans I have for you. Isn't that reassuring? God says he has plans for you and me. And it's the kind of plans that are encouraging. Maybe the kind of message this application has will bring hope and healing to you, because God says, I know the plans I have for you. God is a master planner. He's a master weaver. He brings good out of all of the circumstances of our life, the difficult, painful ones. He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. You may have suffered a lot this year in a physical or spiritual way, and it seems like everything has fallen apart and you feel broken. And God is saying, I have a plan for you. I'm going to prosper you. And don't fear, I'm not going to harm you. You see, sometimes we feel as though that harm or evil has come from God, and no, it has not. The Bible says the thief comes but to steal and destroy. And Jesus says, I have come to bring you life and life abundantly. So God says, I have a plan for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Those can be the most healing, encouraging words that your ears could ever listen to, that your heart could ever entertain. A hope and a future. Maybe this past year, all of your hope has been dashed through difficult circumstances, and you feel like you're in the deepest, darkest pit of the world. And now God is saying, I have got a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And suddenly, you feel like light has broke through the darkness, has shattered the darkness of the pit that you're in. And suddenly, for the first time, you see light on the horizon. You see hope restored again. And God says here, when you call on me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. God is going to hear the cries of your heart. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. God says, I have a plan for you to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Now, the book I wrote for my dear Iranian friend. I remember one particular Skype event I had with her online. She was broken and in tears. She lived in Shiraz, Iran. She was recently divorced and her ex-husband was stalking her. She felt trapped. You see, he was abusive to her. He was controlled by his parents. His parents wanted her son, Parham, to learn the Quran, to be raised in the Islamic faith, and Maral wanted no part of that. And after a long abuse and a divorce proceeding, which is very difficult for women in Iran, she was able, through a settlement, to be free of him. But now he's stalking her. And I remember on this Skype event, I shared this verse with Maral that I just shared with you. And her eyes and countenance lit up. She was not a religious person. Living in Iran, it's very difficult to have any kind of religious attitude because of the way the government uses the Islamic faith to just oppress people. So Maral was not religious at all. But I shared this verse with her. Several weeks later, I heard nothing from her, and it was not like her to not communicate with me on WhatsApp. A month had gone by, and I remember I was sitting in the parking lot at Walmart before dinner time to pick up a prescription, and suddenly I got a message from Farzana, her sister, on WhatsApp. She said, "Randy, several weeks ago, the police came to Maral's parents' home looking for her, and she was gone. She was at university. They came into the house. They confiscated her laptop and said they needed to speak to Maral." At the time that the police came to her home, Maral was driving down the street from university. And she saw their car parked at her parents' home. Immediately she panicked, and she called her brother, Muhammad, on his cell phone and was frantic. Now, the background for Maral was that on her Facebook page, she had pictures of her without her hijab. And she had told me several times that she met secretly with some students at university. They had a club. It was an anti-government club. Putting all of this in context and being friends with me and seeing this police car at her home, Maral knew that if she went home now, she would be arrested. And she panicked. Her brothers immediately assured her that they were going to help her leave Iran. And through circumstances, money, and connections, Maral and her 10-year-old son, Parham, were driven to the border of Turkey. And there they met up with a refugee group that were going to cross the Zagros Mountain on foot. And they did that. And then later, through other connections, they met up with another Iranian man they paid money to and a group of refugees that had just crossed the dangerous cold Zagros mountain range were all thrust into this tiny life raft with a guide and a motor. And they were going to go across the Aegean Sea to Samos Island in Greece. And it was a horrific journey. They almost perished because of the storms, the seas, the leaky raft. But by God's grace, he brought them safely to Samos Island in Greece. Through circumstances that could only be orchestrated by God, Maral and this refugee group made their way through bus and train into Germany to become asylum seekers. And 2 months later, they arrived safely in Germany. I get a phone call at work on WhatsApp. Maral is talking to me for the first time in several months. She's coughing. She has been sick with bronchitis. And she shares with me this incredible journey of leaving Iran for a new homeland. She had to leave her family for a new beginning. This is a new beginning for her. This is a frightening time for her. But she shared with me the verse I shared with you from Jeremiah 29, how that verse guided her and gave her hope. Tears when I listened to her story. A month later, we met together on Skype. For 2 months, Maral shared this incredible journey from Iran to Germany with me. I took notes copiously. I copied down everything. And her journey became this book I hold in my hands, entitled Finding a Hope and a Future, Maral's Journey to Freedom. If you ever wanted to know what it's like to be a refugee, leaving your homeland in Iran because of persecution, because of oppression, because of no freedom. If you ever wanted to know what it was like to trust God for the new year, it was 2015, October, when Maral left. She arrived in Germany right at Christmas time. And in 2016, she began a new life with her son, Parham. Since then, God has incredibly blessed my friend. Parham was 10 when he left Iran with his mother. This year, he's going to turn 18. Maral has been successful. She has pursued a career. She is a dental assistant. She graduated from university, and as a result, she has a good-paying job. No longer bound to government benefits, she's established a life because of the power of God's grace in this word that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." It's one of the most incredible answers to prayer I've ever had. I'll never forget that Skype event when I quoted this verse to Maral. And that verse, that promise, that powerful promise from God's word resonated so powerfully in her heart. It guided her every step of the way. There was another one I gave her as well. That was the primary verse. I also said, what did Jesus teach about prayer? Matthew 7:7 in the New Living Translation. Keep on asking and you shall receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you shall find. Keep on knocking and the door shall be open for you. Maral shared with me that they needed new clothes and new shoes on the island of Samos and they didn't have access to it in the refugee tents or the asylum tents. They went into the city there and a priest from a church met them. They had just went into the church to pray. And the priest in the church met with them and took them shopping and bought them clothes and shoes. And Maral says, verse you gave me, where Jesus says, keep on asking, you shall receive what you ask for. Now I want to tell you something. The Spirit of God had been working with Maral every step of the way. When she got to Battleburg, Germany, one of the first things she did was visit a Lutheran church. And it was there that the female pastor talked to her about Jesus and she became a born-again Christian. And several weeks later, she was baptized. This is the book I wrote for Maral, Finding Hope and a Future, Maral's Journey to Freedom. It's an incredible true story. I want to share that with you, too. If you want to read it, it's up on Amazon, Finding Hope and a Future. But why I said all of that is to say to you, if God can take a frightened young girl and her son and can transport them out of the oppressive government, dictatorship government of Iran, and bring them safely over thousands of miles with refugees to Germany, if God can do that for a spiritual seeker like Maral was, based on this wonderful promise, what can he do for you? Your circumstance may not be like Maral's, but God loves you. God has a plan for you. God wants to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. I hope this morning you are encouraged, and I want to help you be even more encouraged from this song by Elevation Worship. This is called What I See. Let's listen. Well, I ask you to forgive me. For some reason, that song is not coming up in the queue, so that's okay. I've got some things I want to share with you as I close out this broadcast today. Sometimes these little technical glitches are a blessing in disguise. Maybe the Lord wants this to go a different direction, and that's what I want to do. The circumstances of our lives sometimes are overwhelming. And we go from hopeful to hopeless. If this is the pit you find yourself in this morning, then this promise from God's word is not a pep talk. It's not something to soothe your hurts and pains and just help you get through this day. No, the promise of God's word is powerful. Is my word not like a fire and like a hammer? Jeremiah 23. God's word is a powerful force for truth and righteousness. God's word is meant to bring you through the most difficult circumstances because it is true. It is powerful. It is life-changing. And so when he says to you this morning in a personal way, I have a plan for you, know that your life has a purpose. Know that you can go from hopeless to hopeful because God has a plan and a purpose for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You may feel like that there is no future for you. You may be at the edge, right at the edge of throwing in the towel and saying that there's no purpose and there's no future for me. But God wants to rescue you. He wants to pull you up out of the pit, out of the darkness, and he wants you to know that he loves you with an everlasting love, that he has a purpose for your life, that it is not by accident that you're here, that no matter what the circumstances you have gone through is, he wants to pull you up. Maral felt trapped in Iran. She felt like her ex-husband was going to rule her life, take over her son, indoctrinated him into Islam. She had to find a way out. And when she saw the police at her door, little did she know that that was the biggest blessing in disguise for her to leave Iran. You may be looking at circumstances right now, but they are blessings in disguise that God is using in your life to bring you out of hopelessness to hope. This is what God wants to do. He wants to give you hope. He wants to know your life has a purpose and a future. This powerful verse was life-transforming for a young Iranian girl and her son. And the amazing thing is, it was at that time that the Spirit of God was working in her heart. She had not yet publicly professed her faith in Christ. But God knew that was going to happen. God knew it. He had planned it. You see, he has a plan. Maral didn't know it, but the verse that I gave her was a life raft to her. When she was in the Aegean Sea in that rubber raft that was going to sink, the Word of God was her anchor, was her hope, was the freedom that she was needing. It was a life raft for her in many ways. And this is to illustrate the power of the promises of God. These are not just mere words to inspire and encourage you. They are powerful rock and hammer and fire words that says, what God says is true. I have a plan and a purpose for your life. So this morning, on the cross in the desert, you may not be like Maral, where the police are at your door. And you may not be living in Iran, where there's no hope, where there's nothing but oppression and no freedom. But God is going to meet you right where you are in the circumstances of your life. He's going to meet you in your darkest moment, and he's going to give you a hope and a future. For me, the new year is nothing but hope and a future, because I know God has a plan, and I know God has a purpose for my life. I want you to know the same thing. I want you to go from hopelessness to hope, and from purposelessness to purpose. This is the beauty and the transforming power of God's Word. And this morning, he wants to rescue you out of that pit. He is the light that is shining in your darkness this morning. And all you have to do is come to the light. Surrender your life and call upon Jesus, and he will save you, rescue you. He will give you a true hope and a true future. I want to say God bless you so much for listening this morning. I want you to have a great week, and I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert. Have yourself a fabulous week.